I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. What day is it, Dylan? Oh, it's Wednesday because we're doing a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. There's lots of basketball games being played tonight on a Wednesday.
I've heard they're important, too.
They are. Not used to covering Wednesday hoopage, but all that snow last week, which also wiped out the podcast, wiped out all these basketball games that were supposed to be played, you know, first round of the playoffs. So now we're cramming the first three rounds into this week, and it's lots of fun. Six games and six nights for you and I to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, when we get to Jackson, that's what it's like.
Right.
Game, except it's more so because there's more than one game a day down there. But anyway, we'll get into all that in just a second. Welcome into the program. This is, of course, Prep Rally, coming to you every week in iTunes. You can find us in any of your podcast apps or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at djournalpreps. Yeah, basketball is the dominant topic today. The playoffs finally got going on Monday, a week later than planned because of all that white stuff that would not go away last week. I had to walk to Kroger in the snow one day.
Oh, that's
yeah. It was only half a mile, but yeah. I didn't bust my tail, so that's good.
I slip and slide all the way to Walmart one day, I think on the Wednesday of that week. So just for a few essential things that we'd ran out of the house for. So I didn't have a sled to ride down, but I rode down in my Ford Fusion. So.
My my friend Whitney and her roommates walked, it had to be at least a couple of miles, to the Walmart neighborhood market here in Tupelo on Wednesday, just before that second round came in. And, I mean, that's a hike. And it's kind of hilly, too, in that part of town. And then they got so many groceries, they couldn't carry them all, so they just put them all in a cart and took off with the cart. she got a cart in her garage now.
Well, good thing she doesn't shop at Aldi. She would lose her quarter.
Oh yeah, that's right. Never get it back. Okay, let's jump into the basketball rewind real quick. Look back at some of these first round playoff games that we covered. We'll start with the Amory girls against Houston on Monday. Lady Toppers, Dylan, you were there. What, four starters were out for various reasons, and that certainly did not help. And Amory got the win. Right now, I forget the score, but
48-29.
There you go.
Yeah, that was it was kind of unfortunate getting there. As soon as I got there pretty early and sit down and talked to Coach Chris Pettit there at Houston, and he was like, "Could find a better game to go cover tonight." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "This is one of the best games, you know, first round girls matchups, two, 3 seeds," and he was like, "Well," he's like, "I'm without four starters," and that was including Amber McIntosh, the really impressive sophomore leading scorer at like 16 points a game. She hurt her ankle in the division championship game against Knoxville County, and so she wasn't able to play. And they've had like two other starters tear the ACL.
Wow.
One of them was in the district championship game too. So just really bad luck for them. You know, we talked about like other teams like this year, like Bruce and some of the Bruce girls and some other teams that's had like awful luck like that and kind of hit Houston at the worst moment possible. But you know, credit to Amory though too. You know, they came out and played pretty well and took advantage of that, and it wasn't their fault that Houston was shorthanded, and they still had to go on the road and went and take a win. They did that. So this Amory squad, you know, we talked about, they're kind of dangerous at times. Like, you know, they're a team you might not want to see in the playoffs because, you know, they almost beat Belmont in the regular season, lost by three there, and then played them in the division semifinals in 1-3A and took Belmont to the brink there too. So Amory's just one of those dangerous teams, and they didn't particularly shoot the ball very well. They only shot like 35% from the field, but they had just enough between just four or five different players all kind of right there in that 10-point range close together. So it was a pretty impressive performance. Now Amory is at Amanda Elzey today.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I think that's a game they can go win even on the road. They just proved they can win on the road. I think they can go down there and win that one too. So
Tuesday night had a couple of boys' games that we went to. I went up to Mount Pleasant. I forgot how much of a hike that was to go up to H.W. Byers. And it's right there off Highway 72. You got to go up through Holly Springs and and then keep going. Yeah. Another 20 minutes. But I was glad to get up there. I love that old gym they got. It was built in 1966. It's just like an old kind of a semi-dome barn-looking whatever.
Yeah.
Big wooden rafters and original bleachers. And the floor is somewhat new, but everything else is pretty much original, and it's just a cool little place. But anyway, they were taking on Tremont in the 1A boys playoffs, first-round game. And I haven't gotten to see either one of these teams play yet. But, of course, Byers has been playing very well all year. They came in with just one loss. Tremont's been pretty good as well. I think they came in 18-7. And, you know, Tremont is going to try to win with defense and making some jump shots. And they played pretty good defensively. They couldn't shoot, and really HW Byers deserves a lot of credit. Their 2-3 zone, they could not crack it, man. I mean, they finally did in the fourth quarter when they made a little bit of a push, got within 4 points. So they were down 30-15 entering the fourth, went on an 11-0 run, got within 4 points, but then Byers was able to kind of hold them at bay, end up with the 47-36 win. And you know, just a really, like I said, really good defensive performance. I mean, they were able to stretch that zone out, and Tremont could not shoot over it. I think they were 0-7 from 3 in the first half and never really got going there. They ended up like 4-17 or something like that from three-point range. 4-18, excuse me. Yeah. And, you know, if you can't shoot over a zone like that, there's one key, and you can't penetrate it, there's, I mean, that's about your only two options.
You know, normally that's what you try to do. You know, when teams go into a 2-3 zone, you think, okay, they'll shoot them out of it. But Byers, if you've ever watched Syracuse with Jim Boeheim and the way they run that 2-3 zone, that's kind of like how Byers does it. And you would think they only have 8 players, but they're all extremely athletic.
Yeah.
And especially Petey Moore right there in the middle there.
Yeah,
Junior, he can just flat out jump out of the gym, and he kind of protects the rim for them. So if you drive in the zone, like, you got to meet him at the rim, and they've got, you know, length and in other spots on the outside.
And they're quick.
Yeah, and they're so quick, and quick hands and all that. And so you would think that them being back in a 2-3 zone, that's like, okay, they're not going to be as aggressive on defense. But they are. They kind of sneak up on you. And they've played 2-3 zone all along against everybody.
Yeah, and Tremont's a bigs. I mean, they've got some decent size, but they were not really aggressive because of Devin Moore.
That's right. I said Petey.
Does he go by Petey? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he does. if not, he does now. We've given him a nickname.
So. But he's 6'3", can jump. He had 4 blocks. He ended up with 8 points and 6 rebounds and 3 steals. So, I mean, that was a really good game for him in the middle there for HW Byers. Michael James led the way in scoring with 18 points. He helped them get off to a fast start in the first quarter. He had a couple of 3-pointers, and then he, again, after Tremont got within 30-26, he helped kind of pull away, hit a layup, and then hit some free throws down the stretch in the final minute to seal it. So Byers now 18-1. I believe that's 15 straight wins for the Lions. And so look out for them in 1A, man.
And losses to Ingomar, and it was like about 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about Ingomar and Biggersville, but keep an eye on HW Byers. I think they could definitely do some damage. And so they've got Oklahoma at home next round. Now, Oklahoma is going to be a team that, you know, this was more of a half-court game against Tremont. Mm-hmm. Byers can play half-court, or they can run. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to run with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oklahoma always likes to run.
Dalen Cooperwood at Oklahoma. He's a big-time scorer.
Yes.
That's actually a pretty interesting matchup. So if you're in the area around HW Byers, which I don't know why you'd be over that way, but if you're over there on free Thursday night, that's a good one to go watch. So.
Yeah, definitely. And then you had Pine Grove and Holka at Pine Grove, and I thought this would be a close game, Dylan. It was not.
No, it wasn't.
Not even. What was it, 70-37?
70-37, Pine Grove barely broke a sweat.
Wow.
Pretty much their starters played about 2.5 quarters, and just kind of, you know, saving their legs because now with the win, they've got Ingomar, the defending 1A state champs on Thursday. So that's probably a pretty smart decision to kind of save some legs, because if you were to beat Ingomar, you got another third game this week too, so
right.
So they were able to save their legs. It was a big win. Holka, you know, they're one of these teams that they can be dangerous with Seth Winter coming in. You know, he leading scorer. He's a sophomore sharpshooter.
Yeah,
really can shoot the ball. He's at 42% from three. Has a lot of attempts too. It's not like, you know, he only shot it 5 times or something. Like, he's throwing it up there a lot. And Pine Grove did a really good job defensively on him, holding him to 4 points. But the story of the night was Carson Rowland. He's kind of been a name that's been mentioned around these parts for, you know, last couple of years. He's started ever since he was a freshman at point guard for Pine Grove, and you could just kind of see his development coming. And but he's always been this player that has had this really good first step, gets to the rim.
Yes.
Nobody's really ever respected a shot from him because he's not really been much of a shooter.
Yeah, I've never really seen him as a shooter.
But this year he has turned it around, and he is now a pretty good three-point shooter.
What was he, 5 of 6?
He was 5 of 6 in the first half, and two of them were buzzer beaters. Buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter as Pine Grove led 12 to 6 at the end of the first quarter. He hits this step-back three that's – his heels were like hovering over the out of bounds line on the sideline. He was so far back on the shot, and then at halftime again, and Pine Grove got up 20 points there at halftime, and he had another step back three at the buzzer. So he's just was just on fire, and it was contagious throughout the rest of the team. It kind of got the whole team going. Like when Carson's hitting like that, and they have other shooters like Keaton Wilkerson and Jack Hudson and Hayden Holcomb off the bench, and they had, you know, 6 different players hit a three, hit 11 as a team. So. I have them for 11 of 27, which is right at 40%. But wow, their JV kids like ruined that stat in the fourth quarter.
That happens a lot,
like,
doesn't it?
They were like 0 for 6 or 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter.
It's like the other night when I was covering people of girls and they blew out Murrah, I mentioned the stats through three quarters because the – for Tupelo, because all the starters got pulled late in the third. So I was like, oh, these are better numbers.
Yeah,
tell the story better.
I probably should have done that. I probably should have just went with the starters or the first 6 guys or whatever and just just listed theirs. But yeah, so the JV kids there at Pine Grove ruined really what Pine Grove really did, and was shoot the lights out. And that's what they're going to need to do. We're about to preview we're going to preview the girls.
They're playing Ingomar as well.
They're playing Ingomar and OF talked about it last night to Coach Jake Walker there at Pine Grove. And, you know, Pine Grove's not going to have anybody on the floor. It's going to be able to guard Zach Sugars or Tyson Smithy on Thursday. It's not going to happen. They're not going to rebound with them. It's just they're not. But Pine Grove can go 5 wide and shoot, and all of them can handle the ball and do – like, it's going to be contrasting styles, and it's going to be interesting because if Carson's hitting like that and Ingomar has to step out and guard the three-point line on him, and we know he can get to the rim. So, these – they matched up, and Ingomar blew them out in the regular season, but that was without Carson. Pine Grove's 16-11 now, and like nearly all of those losses came when Carson Rowland tore his meniscus in the first game of the year against Morville and missed 7 weeks. So they lost a lot of games in that stretch. So Pine Grove's a dangerous team right now, and again, if you're in the Ingomar area Thursday night and you can get a voucher and get in those doors, that's going to be a good one. So.
Definitely. Looking ahead to some second-round games, speaking of Pine Grove at Ingomar, that's the girls' matchup tonight. Yeah. We're just going to touch on it quickly because, again, we're recording this around lunchtime Wednesday, and some of y'all might not even hear this until after the game's over, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. But Pine Grove, of course, the 4-time reigning 1A champ, going to Ingomar. I think this is an interesting matchup. Pine Grove has kind of been on a roll since getting healthy. You know, had some girls go down early in the year, and did they have to deal with quarantine at one point?
I think they were in quarantine for a little bit there, but the biggest thing, like you said, was injuries.
Right. And then Ingomar, of course, you know, they're kind of on the rise again, a young team. Very young team, but still, I mean, you know, Macy Pfeiffer, just an 8th grader, but she's their best player, averaging, 18 and 8,
I think. 23 points in the first quarter last night against Ashland.
Wow. Yeah.
So she's not your typical 8th grader. So.
She is not. So, and, you know, and what makes this a little bit more fun is how Katie Bates and Trent Adair are such good friends, their respective coaches. And so it makes it a little bit more of a fun rivalry. Anyway, I'll be at that game tonight, again, Wednesday night at Ingomar. Also, tonight, county rivals, North Pontotoc and Pontotoc girls going at it. A couple of ranked teams. Mm-hmm. In fact, Pontotoc girls, they're our number one ranked team. And so that should be a fun one. North Pontotoc, when they've got Shamiah Hadley and Maddie Gear and all of them going, they can be a really dangerous squad. They're ranked number 8, by the way. They're 21-6. Pontotoc is 27-4. North Pontotoc beat Northeast Lauderdale on Monday, 49-48. At home. I don't know if there's a last-second shot.
I think it was Shamiah Hadley had a last-second shot. I thought I saw that on Twitter somewhere where she kind of came up big in the last second. So I think for North to have a chance tonight, I'll be there for this for this game. And I think for North to have a shot, like you mentioned, those two names, Shamiah Hadley, Maddie Guerin, they're going to have big nights because Pontotoc's got five or six girls that can go.
It could be anybody.
Any given night. I think Michaela Boyd led them in the first round.
Yeah, she had 21 points. 21. I think Samaya had 20 or 21. Yeah,
and it's just that's how Pontotoc's been winning all year, is with their depth. And, and they got sizes down low, so that helps too. So
on the boys' side, Thursday, second round games, Oxford at Tupelo. Tupelo boys had a first round bye. Oxford won on a Tuesday night. So, they've got Chase Rose.
He had a big night last night.
They had, 28 or something?
Something like that. But it was like 17 in the first half against South Panola. So.
Yeah. So Oxford rolled in that one. And so, it's going to be – Oxford is not as good as it normally is. In fact, that's probably one of the worst teams that Drew Tyler has had, which is saying something, which is a compliment to what he's done over the years. Because, they're not like a bad team. They're just not typical Oxford level. Tupelo, of course, a pretty balanced squad, which is what you usually see with a Jeff Norwood team. They're not going to have one guy necessarily that can just take over a game. They got lots of guys that know what they're doing, though. Lamaris Miller and Braxton Bishop and guys like that. So that'll be a fun game that I will be at. Then you got Corinth, Itawamba Boys, Itawamba AHS. After beating Clarksdale by 5 points, takes on Corinth in a 4A game that I think will be really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Of course, Keandra Hampton, who was briefly not part of the Itawamba team, apparently, which explains that loss in the division tournament, is now back. As far as we know, he's still back.
I hadn't checked in on that, but I'm assuming that if they went on the road and won in the first round, that they probably had him.
So. They probably did.
Because they are like, they've got other we've talked about Arvesta Troop, Devon Wilder, Caden Preston. They got other pieces, but Hampton is what makes them go, and they're a completely different team with it.
Yeah, if you don't have Hampton, it's like
just nothing else.
I don't know if this metaphor works, but it's like taking the hinges off a door. Mm-hmm. It might be the coolest looking, sturdiest, prettiest door, but if you ain't got the hinges, it ain't gonna do you any good. Mm-hmm. He's kind of that team kind of hinges on his play. Right. Look at me coming up with door metaphors.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, another point guard in that matchup with him, Will Crawford, scored 23 points in the fourth quarter alone. 23 plus 26 against League Central, number one seed League Central. Went down there and beat them last night on a buzzer beater by Crawford there. So, Corinth, they're just, we've talked about it, they always play well at this time of year, and they've got like 8-9 seniors on this team, so they're super experienced. They're going to be able to match Itawamba size wise, and that's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, Will Crawford, the only player I've seen execute not one but 2 4-point plays on back to back possessions a few weeks ago when I went up there to cover a game.
He's starting to really play well.
It's crazy. All right, so let's move on to baseball. Heck, why not? That's all right. Baseball and softball has it was supposed to start last week. It has actually started for some teams this week, and we had a preview package in Sunday's Daily Journal. Go pick up a copy or check it out at djournal.com. And just real quick, I want to go over the rankings. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because we're already going long here. Baseball rankings, of course, hard not to put Tupelo at number one there, Dylan. I mean, they were loaded with that pitching staff, especially.
That's the biggest reason. They actually won last night. They played their season opener last night, won 5-2 over South Panola. Hunter Elliott got to start. McLean Ray, the other kid that we previewed mentioned, he closed it out. I think they combined for 14 strikeouts between the two of them or something like that. So they're so dominant from the mound, and they've got bats, galore. It's just, Hunter Elliott, Ole Miss signee, Mason Morris, mm-hmm. Ole Miss commit, McLean Ray, Mississippi State commit. They're just loaded all the way across the coach's son, Lake Reed's a freshman. He's going to be outstanding this year too. So they just feel like the preeminent favorite, especially not even just in the area, but it may be in 6A baseball. But they've got Lewisburg and DeSoto Central in their division, so we'll see.
Yeah, and who are some of the other teams of note in those rankings?
I think North Pontotoc is probably the highest rated 4A team that we have. They're sitting at number four. Mm-hmm. They got Ty Robertson back. He's one of our players to watch for this season. He's obviously just kind of led them. Last year was North's first year back in 4A. Which the season got cut short, but people forget that they're the last reigning 3A state champions too.
Yep, that's right.
And they've got Reese Kentner, the quarterback, and he's a solid baseball player. They've got other pieces there on that team. I think North's going to be tough to deal with, but Lafayette's number two. They've got Tyrus Williams, Washington State commit. He's also the quarterback on their football team. Really good baseball player. And they've got other Blake Loper, I think is his name, another pitcher. So Oxford, brought in Kelly Crumpton from Jackson Prep. That's a huge deal. They're ranked number three. Really quickly, Saltillo 5. They're top ranked or second ranked behind Lafayette on in 5A. Nettleton, top ranked 3A.
Yeah, Nettleton's loaded.
They've got a ton of potential to do some make some noise in 3A. Pontotoc 7, Boonville 8. East Union 9. East Union got kind of walloped last night by Ripley. We'll see. I don't know how much of that. They only had two hits against Ripley last night. So we'll see how that plays out. But right now, you know, East Union is 9 and Amory 10. So 3A between Boonville, Amory, Nettleton, all in that same division.
It's going to be fun.
That's going to be a fun division. So.
Softball, Houston, no surprise, our preseason number one there in 3A because they still have Paige Kilgore.
Yep.
The pitcher.
That puts you up there.
Yeah, it does. That alone does. Mm-hmm. She has been unbelievable during her career at Houston, and they got a lot of other good pieces around her. They got most of their starters back. South Pontotoc is going to be right there with them. That's our number two team. They got a great pitcher back, Allison Harrison, with a ton of experience. I really like what Morville's got at number three, Boonville 4, Vardaman number 5. Of course, they are technically the reigning 1A champ, and they've got
stud.
They got a stud we'll talk about in just a minute. Mantachie at 6, Lindsay Barber, Ramsey Montgomery, all those girls. They got a good squad. I got Tupelo at number 7, Paris Lehman leading the way there once she's done with basketball. Saltillo 8, Pontotoc 9, East Webster 10. Pontotoc, you know, was playing really well last year when the season ended. And they've got a lot of pieces back as well. So there you go. A little bit of your baseball and softball preview, and need to move on now. Let's do this week's shout out, and this week it goes to Mr. Keith Steele, Coach Keith Steele, who had a great coaching career and a career in education. He died on Sunday. He was the guy that turned Bruce into a football power. They were a nothing program until he came along in 1974, and after he got a hold of them, they were a contender for a good 30-plus years. He led them to their first winning season in like 22 years and won a couple of conference championships. This is before the modern playoff format. I think it was the Tri-Lakes Conference. He won a couple of titles there. He's also coached at Amory. He was a head coach there for a few years in the 80s. He spent a year at Tishomingo County in its first year as a program after consolidation. He spent a year at Itawamba AHS, which is his alma mater. He's also an assistant coach at a few places, including New Albany and most recently South Pontotoc. He was over there, I think, 2017 and 18. So condolences to his family, but tell you what, a great career and laid the foundation there for Bruce football. Let's close it out with the athletes of the week. We do this every week on our male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female athlete of the week, that aforementioned stud that Dylan alluded to, Maddie Terrell, the sophomore catcher for Vardaman. Their season opener on Tuesday, she went 4-for-4 with a double, a grand slam, 6 RBIs, and a 15-9 win over Yorpora. Sounds about right for her.
Why pitch to her?
I don't know. They pitched to her 4 times.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah.
I don't know.
especially with the bases loaded, just walk in and run.
Yeah,
just.
And if you didn't see, I had a nice feature story. I thought it was nice.
And, it was good.
On Terrell in Sunday's Journal. Male Athlete of the Week, Gavin Brinker, sophomore. Got another sophomore here. Pontotoc basketball player last night against Greenwood. Had a career-high 30 points to go with 6 rebounds in Pontotoc's 95-58 playoff win over Greenwood. Brinker, 6'5", beast. He seems to just be getting better and better.
Champs too.
Yeah, well, that's right. He seems to be getting better and better as well.
Yeah, he's starting, you know, picking up D1 offers and stuff. And
yeah.
He's on his way. If we can get the COVID stuff out of the way, he can get on the AAU circuit and get in front of some college coaches.
This is,
you know, going into his junior year in the summer, he's fixing to blow up.
Blow up. Okay, that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And just a reminder, we come to you every Wednesday. You can catch us on iTunes, in your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. Not 100% sure if we'll do an episode next week. In fact, we probably won't because we'll both be in Jackson for the semifinals and finals of the basketball playoffs. So I guess we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Have a good one.